Amen. Woo! What a blessing, man. Hallelujah. I will never forget sitting in, you take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter number 19 tonight. I'll never forget sitting in the hospital with Brother J.M. And if you never got an opportunity to know J.M., you missed out. And that's Brother J.M. Brooks, my wife's uncle. He pastored this church 20-something years before me. And he didn't have a doctor nor a nurse walk in that room that he didn't witness to. And but I seen some doctors get real nervous with Brother J.M. But he didn't care how much their education was. He'd nail them to the wall, brother. And what was a blessing, I was in there one day, and he started witnessing to the doctor, and the doctor started witnessing back to him, amen. And you remember that, Brother Charles? He had a saved doctor, boy, and we just rejoiced and had a good time, amen. Are you in Genesis chapter number 19? Say amen. And we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 19 and kind of give you a heads up. We're going to Luke chapter number 9, Genesis chapter 19, and then Luke chapter number 9. I heard a song this week, and it's a new Rochester song. I was with the Rochesters down in Florida. And by the way, we have them booked. They will be here on the fifth Sunday night in July for our combined church meeting down at Fullerville. They'll be here for that. And so I'm looking mighty forward to that. We're privileged this time to be able to get the Rochesters. They're slowing down a little bit. Brother Harold and Miss Joyce, the mom and dad, they're only traveling on the weekends. That's all they go. And so we'll be able to have them one more time. Amen. So that's a blessing. So I'm looking forward to that. But I want you to look in Genesis chapter number 19. If you're familiar with the story, and I hope you are, how many of you know the story about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot was Abraham's nephew, and Lot kind of left with his uncle Abraham, and they traveled together for some years, and they gained cattle and men servants and maid servants and all that, and it got to the place to where there was strife between the herdmen. In other words, it was kind of like a range war. They was fighting over watering holes. They was fighting over grassland. And Abraham tells Lot that we need to separate. And he said, you pick out wherever you want to go, and I'll take what's left. I'm just making short of it tonight. But Lot picks the well-watered plain, and he moves down to this place called Sodom. I mean, boy, that don't even sound like a place I'd want to live. Amen? And by the way, you know that's where our term sodomy comes from. Are you with me? It was a wicked, wicked city. And Lot was not forced to live there. Lot chose to live there. And if you live in wickedness, it's not because somebody made you. Everybody wants to blame mama and daddy or blame this one and that one. If you live a wicked life, it's by your choosing. And then you suffer the consequence thereof. I don't care who you are. If you're lost, if you're saved, if you choose to live a wicked life, it's by your choosing. Amen. Nobody ever died and went to hell and can blame it on somebody else. Amen. So Lot chooses that wicked city. Then God comes to Abraham and tells Abraham he's going to destroy the city. And Abraham begins to pray and ask God, if there's 50 righteous, would you save it? And then he prays again, if there's 40 in him, he brings it all the way down to about the exact number of Lot's family. And God said, if I find that many righteous, I'll spare. So the angel comes, and if you know the story, you ought to read it, and you ought to read your Bible anyway. And if you've been reading your Bible, you've already read this year. Amen. You're just beyond that in the book of Genesis. It ought to be fresh on your mind. So these angels come, or these sodomites come, and they want the men. They don't want the women. They want the men out of the house. And then the angels come, and they tell Lot that they're going to lead them out of the city. And I want to pick up reading because God's about to destroy it. In verse number 17, the Bible said, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look at the next phrase. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be, say the word, consumed.
So the angels come, they're answering Abraham's prayer, and they're there to deliver Lot and his family out of that wicked city before God rains fire and brimstone down on the place, which he did. And the angel gives them some instruction. He said, when you leave the city, whatever you do, don't look back. Amen. Don't look back. No matter what you hear behind you, don't look back. Look straight ahead. Now I want you to go to Luke chapter. Wait a minute. Let's jump down a little bit. So verse number 24, the Bible said, the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But look at verse number 26. But his wife, say the next word. But his wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. She went from a live human being to a statue made out of salt. All because she looked back. We don't know the reason she looked back. It could be that she had friends in that city. I don't know. But whatever the case may have been, she turned from where she was going and looked back to where she had left. And for that, she suffered the judgment of God. Go to Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. No real sermon tonight. I'm going to read some scripture and make a few statements that I hope will help somebody. Luke chapter number 9. Say amen when you get there. Amen. Luke chapter 9, and look at verse number 62. The Bible said, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow, and what? Looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. The angel said to Lot, he gave specific instructions, don't look back. Jesus said, any man having put his hands to the plow and looking back is not fit. Did you know you cannot plow a straight row looking back? You can't even plow a straight row looking where you are. I learned how to plow as a young man. Somebody tell me how to plow a straight row. Where must you look? Where you're going. You start at point A, you lock your eyes on point B, and you aim that tractor right straight toward it. It'll turn out straight every time. But if you start looking where you're at and or where you've been, you get to the end of that row and she'll look like that right there. Amen? The Lord said, whosoever put his hand to the plow and looked back, he wasn't fit for the kingdom of God. Lot's wife turned around and looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. A little boy in Sunday school one time, a teacher was teaching on Lot and his wife, and he said Lot's wife was looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And the little boy raised his hand. He said, my mama looked back the other day and turned into a telephone pole. Amen. I think the little boy got the gist of the message. You better watch where you're going. Amen. Now go to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Right after Ephesians, Brother Allen, I do know where it's at. Philippians chapter number 3. Three verses of Scripture, and I'm going to share a thought with you, and we'll go to the house. I promise you I ain't going to be long at all. But if you'll get this, it'll help you. If you'll just get this thought tonight, it'll help you. I don't even have no points. Honest. I'm just going to shut up. Kick him, Samuel. He opens his mouth again. Kick him. Amen. Philippians chapter number 3. Brother Todd used this scripture on New Year's Eve. This is one of my life verses. And if you'll get this verse, and commit that thing to memory, I promise this verse will help you. It's helped me in my Christian walk and my life as much as any other verse has. I'm not saying I've done right all the time. I hadn't. And probably you couldn't say that either. But I promise if you'll get hold of this verse, it'll help you. Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 13. Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't know everything. I'm not a know-it-all. This is coming from one of the most educated men in the Bible. I'm not a know-it-all. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Say the next word with me. Forgetting those things which are where? Behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are where?
Before.
Tonight, for a few minutes, I want to bring you this thought. Don't look back. Don't look back. We've got too many of God's people who are living in their past. The past is one of the hardest things as a Christian you will ever get over. How many of you got one? Say amen. Amen. Every one of us has got a past. Every one of us, we would say, if I could go back and do it again, well, guess what? You cannot. Do you know what you can do about yesterday? Absolutely nothing. Do you know why? It's history. You can't do anything about it. Now, in our church, we're not an uppity church. Everybody's not a millionaire. We don't live on golf courses and drive Cadillacs. We may have a few that do, but the majority do not. Most of us come from maybe a rough background. Would it be okay to say that? And if we're not careful, and we do this quite often, we'll cut up about what this one used to be or that one used to be. Thank God it's used to be. Now, let me say it again. Thank God it's used to be. Now, it's okay to remember where God brought you from. I think that's necessary in your life. You need to remember where God brought you from and what God has accomplished in your life. And remember, you've accomplished nothing. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. It's good to look back and say, that's what I used to be, but thank God, that's not what I am. And hallelujah, it's not what I'm going to be. I'm a work in progress. It's okay to look back and remember where you came from. It's okay to look back and remember those who got you there. I think about Brother Jay Bice on a daily basis. A lot of times when I'm preaching out of town, I pull his picture out of my Bible and I lay it on the pulpit. You say, what's that got to do? It just inspires me, man. That's the man who led me to Christ. I'll never forget him as long as I live. And he's in heaven, hallelujah. And I'll see him again. It's okay to remember those who got you there. But there is a danger of living in your mind, in your testimony, in your past. And I want to talk about that just for a few minutes tonight. If we're not careful, we'll get around a bunch of people who knew us before, and that's all we'll talk about. What we used to do. How bad we used to be. And if we're not careful, now y'all stay with me. Now I'm guilty of this. If we're not careful, it almost sounds like we're glorifying. If we're not careful, when we do that and talk about what we were, it ought to be in a tone of rejoicing and thanking God from where He brought us from. Amen. Now, when I mention people in our church like Jason Crow or Brother Freddie or Brother Allen, some of these guys who had a bad or a wicked past. By the way, we was all sinners. And we still are. We're just sinners saved by grace. Amen. When I do that, I try to do that in a way to give God the glory for what God has done. We are not glorifying. Brother Jason or Sister Michelle may have one of these ladies testify and talk about what God has done for them. We are not glorifying their past. We are giving God the glory for what He has done. But if you're not careful, the devil will use that past on you to drag you down. The children of Israel left Egypt, got out in the wilderness. Everything wasn't as easy as they thought it was. And you know what they did? They started lusting. After what? The past. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to where they came from. I know a lot of Christians, because of their mind and how the devil has worked on them, they're not lost anymore. They're still on their way to heaven. But in their mind, and even physically for some of them, they're living where they came from. Now, God has a plan and God has a will for my life, and He has one for yours. Would you agree? Now, let me guarantee you something. You will never get there living back yonder. You'll never get to where God wants you to be looking to where you came from. We've got to learn to live beyond our past. Let me say that again. You have got to learn to live beyond your past. 4, 5, 6 maybe statements tonight, and we'll go to the house. I wonder how many of you don't raise your hand tonight, but I wonder how many of you, your past haunts you. Your past haunts you. I don't want to embarrass you tonight, but my little brother made a spiritual decision in his life a few weeks ago. And because of that decision that he's made, he's kind of catching it for some people. I want to guarantee you something. You stick by that decision long enough, those people will be forgotten and gone. Amen. And if you start talking about it a few years ago, there'll be another crowd that don't have a clue what you're talking about. We were having something one day. I don't know whether we were at the park or where we were, and some of us got to laughing and cutting up about this and that and what we did when we was teenagers. Now, I'll never forget what a young lady in our church said. She looked at me, she said, "I could never even imagine you being that." You know why? Because she never saw that. She never saw that. Because one day I made up my mind, I'm leaving that. I'm not going that way anymore. I'm going this way. But if you're not careful, the devil will constantly remind you of what you were. And he'll do it long enough and hard enough till you believe you still are. We okay? People will remind you. They'll throw it in your face. You make up your mind. I don't care where I go in the city of Dallas. People stop me all the time and ask me about Jason Crow. You know, the story's always the same. Is Jason Crow in your church? Yes. Does he really wear a tie? Yes. Does he really preach? Yes. You know he used to be the biggest drug dealer in town? Yes. You know what they're doing? They're holding his past over his future. And that's what people do. Because people don't realize how God can change a life. People don't realize that he can take a drug dealer and make a preacher out of him. Are we okay? He don't realize that he can take a convict and make a usable citizen of heaven out of him. To society and to the world, and sometimes even your own family. They remember so much the wrong you did that the good you're trying to do is overshadowed and clouded. And they'll rub it in your face. For years in my home church, I grew up at White Oak from the time I was 4 years old. And God saved me. God called me to preach. I started teaching Sunday school, working bus routes. I became the youth. We didn't have youth pastors. We had youth director. I became the youth director. I'd get up to preach. I had very little respect from anybody in the church. You know why? Because they did not see Eddie the preacher. They saw Eddie the troublemaker. Yes, sir. Amen. They saw Eddie the one fighting in Sunday school. They saw Eddie the one not paying attention in church and cutting up. They saw the old me. They couldn't get past that. Amen. But over the years, that's changed. It didn't change overnight. It wasn't just like, "Oh, okay, he's a preacher. Yes, sir, let's get behind him. Our pastor resigned. Let's pick Eddie." Oh, no, 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 no. I guarantee you, I wasn't even a thought in their mind for that job. I don't think they believed I was qualified to teach their children in Sunday school, because all they knew was my past. So people will take that past and they'll rub it in your face. Let me tell you something. The hardest person you will ever forgive in your Christian life is yourself. Because of what you've done in the past, the devil will say, well, you're not worthy to do this, or you're not worthy to do that. Let me tell you something. He's exactly right. And you're to look him dead in his flaming eyeballs and say, look here, sucker, you're right. I'm not worthy to preach. I'm not worthy to run a bus route. I'm not worthy to read the Bible. I'm not worthy to testify. But by the grace of God, I'm going forward anyway. Whoo, I didn't think I'd preach tonight. I might. Some of you are being troubled by your past right now. Let me tell you something I do outside our church. I defend you. Because people want to tell me what you've done. I run into people all the time. You know so-and-so done this and that. Yeah, I'm well aware of it. Let me tell you what they're doing now. I don't care where they've been. Let me tell you where they are. Well, I know some stuff you don't know. And I try to be kind. I want to say, I bet there's somebody that could tell me something about you I don't know too. Because I guarantee you, just like the one you're running your mouth about, you had a past too. But somehow people feel like they mash somebody else down. It somehow elevates them. No, it makes you lower and lower and lower and lower. I've had people in church say, and they wouldn't say it to me, they know better, but I've had them say it behind my back. I cannot believe he would allow so-and-so to do such and such. Watch this. I can't believe God would allow any of us to do anything. That blows my mind every single day. Stacy Bullock, you know what I'm doing? I'm preaching. Can you believe? I'm preaching. That blows my mind. Some of you, it ought to blow your mind that you're sitting in church and not sleeping one off. Somebody ought to shout right there, man. It blows my mind that God lets us do anything. I told you I had some statements. I'll get to them in a minute. That was my introduction to no sermon. Amen. Statement number one. You ought to write these down. I don't see nobody write. Write these down. Don't undo in doubt what you tied up in faith. Don't undo in doubt what you tied up in faith. Let me explain. You get saved. Maybe you had a sordid past, a wicked past. Maybe you got a family that knows everything you've done. Maybe you're in a church that knows everything you've done. You get saved and you decide to live for God. And you decide to do something for God. And the devil will saddle up right beside you and he'll say, what makes you think you can do that? Don't you know all these people know what you did? Don't you know all these people know what you are and who you are?
Yes, sir.
And you know what you'll get to thinking? You're right. I can't do that. I can't do this, or I can't teach a Sunday school class. I can't work a bus route. Because the devil slides up here and he starts sowing seeds of doubt in your mind. When the Lord called me to preach, you know what the devil did to me? Brother Shane, he slid right up next to me, crawled in the bed with me. He said, you can't preach. Is that your fake leg?
Yeah, you can sit there.
I won't put no weight on. The devil crawled up in there and he said, you can't preach. You can't preach. You can't preach at White Oak. Everybody there knows what you was. You're going to preach, you better leave town. You better go somewhere where they don't know you. You know what I started doing in my mind? I started going, you know what? I can't do this. And I began to doubt I begin to doubt what I'd already surrendered by faith to God. By faith, I said, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Take me and use me. Whatever you want to do, God, here I am. I'm yours. And the devil said, oh, yeah, we'll see. And I began to doubt. What was I doubting? I was doubting myself, and probably justly so. But ultimately, the devil had me doubting the God who saved me. Are y'all okay? One of the greatest preachers. I'm talking about not eloquent by any means. He probably would never preach in the Sword Conference. No place like that. But Brother Billy Kelly, he's in heaven now. Brother Billy was a big old man, had fingers that big around. How he played a piano. Did you ever get to hear him play piano, Brother Todd? Oh, my soul. Brother Billy was a mountain man, a moonshiner, and a bear hunter. Had God all over him. God can use anybody. And God can use anything, anywhere, at any time. You say, well, I don't have an education. Brother Billy didn't either. Brother Billy wasn't even a real Bible scholar, I don't guess you could say. But he loved God with all his heart. He loved the Lord, he worshiped the Lord, and God blessed him. Oh, my mind. Did he bless him? I think he loved him so much because Brother Billy knew what he was and God used him. Amen. Don't undo in doubt what you tied up in faith. Doubt says I can't. Let me say it again. Doubt says I can't. We were hauling hay one day, and I was trying to get about an 85-pound bale of hay up on the trailer, and I weighed about 50, 60, not 150, 60, 50 or 60 pounds soaking wet. And Papa said, you going to get that bale of hay on that trailer today? I said, I can't. He said, boy, if I ever hear you say that again, I'll wear you out. I thought I'd slip and cut. I said, what'd I say? He said, you said I can't. He said, now we're going to go in the house. He said, when you get that bale of hay up in the loft of the barn, you can come on in. I'll never forget it. We had one of them conveyor belts going up in the loft of the barn, had them little teeth on it, and stick the hay on there, and it pushed it up. I couldn't pick that hay up. But I finally figured out I could pick up one end. And I walked that thing end, over end, and pushed it and piled it up on the back of that conveyor belt. Up in that attic it went. Boom. You need to take I can't out of your vocabulary. And you need to remember what the Bible said. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Some of you boys have... I'm getting ahead of myself. Don't undo in doubt what you've tied up in faith. Now listen. Statement number two. These are going to go quick. Statement number one, don't undo in doubt what you tied up in faith. Statement number two, the way to change your desire. When I first got saved, look at me, I still desired that stuff back yonder. The way to change your desire is to change your direction. Say it again. The way to change your desire is to change your direction. In other words, you've got to quit walking backward that way. You've got to turn your back on it and walk away from it. And the further you walk away, the sweeter the things of God become. And the more scary and awful those old things seem. Are we okay? The way to change your desire is to change your direction. A lot of people get saved and think they can live any way you want. You can, but you ain't gonna get away with it. Amen. You can, but you ain't. Look, you ain't going to get away with doing people wrong. Are you listening? You ain't going to get away with backbiting and gossip. You're not going to get away with that. You think you are, but you're not. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Don't you think there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ? Don't you know we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account for the deeds done in our body? You will answer. Not to me. You're going to answer to God. Amen. If you're going to change your desire, I have no desire to hurt anybody. God knows my heart. I don't. I don't have any vengeance in my heart. I'm going to get even with you. I don't. I used to. When I first got saved, man, hey, it didn't bother me. You messed up, I'd pop you in the head, man. Cut your tires. Amen. I don't have that desire no more. Amen. I thank God I didn't do that. God took it away. But not till I changed my direction. I couldn't live in my past and dwell in my past and change the way I thought toward other people. The way to change your desire is to change your direction. Statement number three. The way to keep from living in your past is replace those old bad memories with some new good ones. Replace those old bad memories with some new good ones. The reason a lot of Christians get together and talk about their past is so they hadn't done nothing since they got saved. And all they've got to talk about is what they did before. Stacy, come here. Now stay with me. I'm trying to help you tonight. The Lord dealt with my heart about this just sure as I'm standing here. I tried to make a alliterated outline. God said, no, just share your heart. To keep from living in your past, forget the old bad memories and make some new ones. Now me and Stacy, if we're not careful, we're guilty of talking about things. We grew up together. And we've done some wrong together. Make no bones about it. You want to know what they were? It ain't none of your business. But let me tell you something. I thought about it today, Stacy. It's been 6 years since Brother Jay died. 6 years. 6 years ago, standing in a Jones Wynn funeral home, I hadn't seen Stacy in, I don't know, it'd been years. I mean, 20 years since I'd laid eyes on him. The last time I saw him, he had an afro. It dropped a little, amen. But we got reacquainted at the funeral home. Brother Stacy came and sat right over there, I believe right over there somewhere, in Brother Jay's funeral, and Brother Stacy got right with God. And he's been here ever since. And I thought about this today, Brother Stacy. We could reminisce, and we could talk about three or four stories. And we could rehearse them over and over and over and over. But I thought about the last 6 years, we got more good to talk about than anything we ever did back there.
That's right. Amen.
You get to talking about preaching and sermons, this rascal's going to go, I'll never forget that NASCAR message. And we'll talk about that NASCAR message and how Terry Fennell got right with God. Hey, I think about the people that he's led to Christ out there in that vestibule. I think about the people that's had the gospel shared with them out here around the smoker. Hallelujah, we got more good to talk about than we ever did bad. You know what? Thank you, brother. You know what that is? That's new memories. That's new memories. You see, there's people around here that didn't know the old Stacy and didn't know the old lady. So don't tell them about it. Not that we're hiding our past. We're trying to get over our past. Some of y'all's past is about to kill you. Because you won't get up and walk away from it. You've got to get up and walk away from it. I love that show. I hadn't seen it in a long time. It used to come on like on ESPN and different channels like that. If anybody remembers it, raise your hand. It was called And They Walked Away. Anybody ever seen that? Some of the biggest car crashes, motorcycle wreck. I've seen them guys that ride them crotch rockets, them motorcycles go 200 and something mile an hour and they lay them down on their side and go around them curves. You know what I'm talking about? I've seen one of them guys running 200 miles an hour hit the ground and skip like a rock on the asphalt for about 100 yards and piled up into a wall. I thought, he's done. That's it. Call the ambulance. He's through. That old guy laid there for a minute and started wiggling. Next thing I knew, he got up and was dusting himself off. I said, far out, man. I seen one of them dudes in the IndyCar, the open wheel. That's awesome right there. I seen one of them guys, Brother Stacy, had a wreck and that Indy car got airborne and that thing started flipping and a flying apart and it got done. They wasn't nothing left but this little cage this dude was sitting in. And that cage is a sliding down the racetrack on its side. I thought, he's over, he's done. Call the funeral director, it's over. Man, here directly, they got out there and unstrapped that guy. He come walking out of that car and walked away from it. I wonder if we could write a story. What is God, by His mercy and His grace, what has He allowed you to walk away from? We've walked away from some trouble. We've walked away from some trials. We've walked away from some temptation. And God has saw us through it. Hey, what I'm trying to say is keep walking. Replace those old bad memories with some new good ones. Statement number, I don't know. Four. Statement number four. Listen to me carefully. The more you dwell in the past, the more tempted you are to go back. The more you dwell in the past, the more tempted you are to go back. I used my little brother a minute ago. I might as well go ahead and use him again. I was down in Florida this week, and Ben Rochester is one of the greatest musicians I know. I think he's one of the greatest musicians there is. And Ben asked me, John, we was sitting on the platform, he was showing me a new guitar, a guy custom made for him, and I was playing a little bit. He said, how's your brother doing? He remembered you and was thinking about you. He said, how's your little brother doing? And I began to tell him what was going on in your life and about the decisions you made. Old Ben choked up, and he said, you tell that boy I'm going to be praying for him. He said, you tell him, I said, that's the best decision he could ever make in his life. Amen. To walk away from that path. And it's hard to do it when you have that kind of talent. I thought about Ben as an example. There's Ben Rochester. He's been offered every kind of musician's job there is. He could sit in a studio 8 hours a day, a couple of days a week, and make a killing. He could be in Nashville right now doing God knows whatever, making millions of dollars. Songwriter of the year, instrumentalist of the year, male vocalist of the year, on and on and on. He got all them awards. But you know what he made up his mind? I'm not going there. Amen. I'm going to take what God's given me and I'm going to serve Him with it. Amen. He said, you tell old John to stick to it. Amen. If you're not careful, you will dwell in the past so long that you're tempted to go back to it. Here's the problem. And I'm almost done. You start thinking about how successful a sinner you was. Yeah. Is it okay to put it that way? I mean, you get to thinking, man, I was a sinner and I was a good one. Amen. I was doing way better at being a sinner than I am at being a Christian. I was a good sinner and didn't even have to try. And I'm killing myself to be a Christian. And still ain't getting her done. I hope this helps somebody tonight. And you'll start dwelling on that and dwelling on that and dwelling on that. Like old Charlie Ryder told me that day. He said, man, I'm telling you, I had it way better when I was lost than I do now. Right. Sure you did. You was on your way to hell. Sure you had it better. Tell me how much better it was before you got saved. You couldn't even pray. You couldn't pray for your children. If your wife got a disease you couldn't pray for, tell me how much better it was back then. Somebody once said, my worst day as a Christian is better than my best day as a lost man. But the devil will start reminding you of what a successful sinner you were and what a failure you are as a Christian. It'll tempt you to go back and live there where you can do something right at least. Does that make sense? The more you dwell in the past, the more you're tempted to go back there and live. Number five, I guess, and I'm done. Watch this carefully. Even after you're saved. Even after you're saved, you will make mistakes. Even though you're on your way to heaven when you die, you are not perfect. More Christians quit because of failure than any other thing I know. Proverbs said, a just man falleth seven times. I'm glad it didn't stop there. And riseth up again. A fella asked me the last week of December, do you think it would be okay if I preached on watch night service? My answer, did God call you? I'm not your judge. Now, I'm not going to let you be living out there and acting like a fool and get up here in this pulpit. That if I know about it. Are you okay? But if you've messed up and messed up royally, and you've got it right and you're trying to do right, did you know there's people who won't come back to church because they're embarrassed? Did you know that? Did you know that is the stupidest excuse you'll ever come up with to serve God? Now, there may be some churches that you would go to, and they would say, oh, no, because you did this and you did that. They love to disqualify people. I'm not in the disqualification business. I'm in the qualifying business. You say, I just don't think it's so-and-so ought to be able to get in the pulpit. What have you done? Boy, if you knew what she had done, you wouldn't let her teach Sunday school. What if we knew what you'd done? You say, yeah, but their sin was bigger than mine. Oh, really? Really? Don't die on me. We've got people in this room who will not serve God because they've messed up. There are preachers in this church who wouldn't sign up New Year's Eve because they've made some mistakes. Amen. Why don't you join the I Messed Up Club? Amen. I'm a charter member. Amen. I got my badge. Amen. Why don't you join the God? I may be the president. I'm not sure. Why don't you join that club with me? Yes, I messed up. Yes, you messed up. But there is a God in heaven. There is blood on the mercy seat. There is forgiveness of sin. Hey, and if God called you, God qualified you, and my best advice is let her rip, Tater Chip.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. People want to hold that past over your head. Hope we're all right tonight.
Amen.
I wonder if your skeletons are somewhere in the shadows tonight going, boo, boo. Especially during a message like this, the devil's going, yeah, you know what you did. You know what you did. There's some of you sitting right here tonight and you're thinking, there's so many in this people in this church that knows what I've done. Let me tell you something. I know pride's a sin, so I won't say proud. I'm thankful for this boy right here. I'm thankful for this boy right here. Has he messed up? Oh, I wanted to kill him. I wanted to kill him. I started just go to his house one day and whoop him, and I knew that'd just crush his pride and he'd be done because he thinks he's bad. I love this boy. These things I know that he don't know I know. And there's probably been people sitting in this church going, I can't believe Brother Eddie would let him go out there after what he's done and preach to them teens. Whew. I'm just thankful he ain't still doing what he's done.
Woo.
I'm just thankful he got up and walked away from it. Y'all okay? If you're not careful, because you make a mistake and you mess up, and you'll even think the only way I can do anything is go somewhere else to do it. Do it here, the rest of us are. Let the world judge us. Let them point fingers. I don't care. I want him to be pleased. Don't look back. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. I wonder how many of you'd be honest, that'd say, boy, I messed up and I made some bad mistakes, and Brother Eddie knows about it, but he's never rubbed it in my face. Yeah. Would you raise your hand? That ain't who I am. You won't find Brother Eddie pointing his finger at you and going, you know what you did. Because in my heart, I know what I did. And I know God still uses me. God still blesses and God still works. Yeah, I got a past. And you got a past. And let me tell you something way better than my past. I got a future. And it's pretty bright. I can't do nothing about yesterday, but by the grace of God, I got tomorrow. Amen. Don't look back. Let me just run through these statements again, and I'm done. Don't undo in doubt what you tied up in faith. The way to change your desire is to change your direction. Replace them old bad memories with some new ones. With some new ones. Brother Stacy, I pray we can make a whole bunch more. Whole bunch more new memories. The more you dwell in the past, the more tempted you are to go back. Even after salvation, you will mess up. Here's my advice: get up and go on. Get up, dust yourself off, and go on. If I'd have quit riding horses the first time I ever got thrown, I'd only rode one horse in my life. But I've rode many. Somebody once said, there ain't a horse that can't be rode, and there ain't a cowboy that can't be throwed. Amen. So just when you get to thinking you all that, you're about to hit the dirt. Amen. We're all vulnerable. Every one of us. The best thing we can do when one falls is help them up. And encourage them to go on and live for God. Let's stand our feet tonight. Brother Todd, y'all come get us a song. Listen to me carefully before they sing. I know some Christians. I know some saved people. Because of their past, listen, they're not a pillar of salt, but they might as well be.